If the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that.
Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports, presented by Clovercrest Media Group and Rocky Hill Accountants. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brother, Riley Barrett, in action. How are you doing today, Ben?
Feeling chill, are you?
Good, man. I'm excited. Our brother, Sander Sanchez, unfortunately, isn't with us today, but he'll be back on Wednesday. And happy memorial to everybody. And thank you to all the troops for all your services and the losses you guys did for our country. We appreciate you very much. But it's a Monday show, and I'm very excited, Pat. I'm going to jump right into it because last night, bro, we saw a showing from the Brooklyn Nets. Jesus Christ, man. If Sander was here, he'll be so hype about it. And honestly, Pat, KD, Kyrie, and James Harden combined for 104 points yesterday, and that's just amazing to me. I can't believe that I saw it live. Unfortunately, it was against the Boston Celtics. You know, I know you didn't like that part. But
it is what it is, as the children say.
If these guys score 104 points and James Harden is giving you 18 assists, you might as well give them the championship right now, because that's going to be a hard, tall task to beat if they're going to do this every night. But the thing is, we don't expect them to do this every night, because we know that as the playoffs progress, the competition is going to get tougher and those guys are going to have to draw bigger defensive assignments. Like, you know, currently it's looking like they're going to play Milwaukee. That's going to, yep. That in themselves are already a top-tier team compared to the Boston Celtics. It's just going to be a different look. But, you know, it really brings it to the question. These guys combined to 104 points. Are they really the best big three to ever be assembled, Pride?
I think it's too early to say. That's just my opinion. Again, me personally, I feel like when we're talking about big threes, right, we can't talk about what ifs, right? We can't talk about, oh, as a unit, because you know what else was another fantastic big three that no one talks about? Dallas, when they had Jim Jackson, Jason Kidd, and Jamal Mashburn. No one talks about them. Why? Because they couldn't get it to work, and they had no success. Those three individuals in and of themselves were successful, but when it came to, like, winning and getting a championship, they couldn't do it. I feel like, personally, before we can even talk about that, we got to make sure these guys can even win a chip. That's number one. We got to start there. And two, how long do they play with each other? Because, look, like, I can't remember who I was talking to, but we were actually talking about the big three. And everyone was like, look, me personally – I'm going right now. There, people have said that they'll take Klay, Steph, and KD over this big three. See, when KD's already been a part of other big threes, right?
Yeah,
that doesn't tend to help this conversation, because I'm gonna tell you this right now. Unless these guys go and not only three-peat, but break records along the way. No one, this Nets team, in terms of the big three, no one's really gonna say that. And again, I'm kind of in the minority over here, because personally, I think the greatest big three that we've ever seen was in Chicago, when it was MJ, it was Scotty. Me personally, I'm throwing Dennis Rodman in there. Now, a lot of people say, no, I want to throw Horace Grant. My thing is, it doesn't matter which one you throw in. Regardless, those three, in my opinion, are the greatest. Now, in terms of Golden State, I think they give them a very close second. This big three, I don't know, because again, Are they bigger than the Miami Heat big three? That's a question that people are gonna go, oh yeah, obviously. I'm like, but time out, pump the brakes. Like, we also gotta take into consideration that, not like, you know what I mean? Like, these guys aren't gonna go out and drop 100. What was it? 104? You said?
Yeah.
They're not always gonna do that.
You know what I mean? You went 14 for 20 for 42, bro. Oh my lord!
And it's great. That's great. And look, man. And KD is honestly the one of those guys that when he goes 70%, to me, and honestly, if you look at the numbers, it shouldn't be the case. But to me, when he goes 70%, that doesn't surprise me. Because not only is he a great scorer, but he's a very fluid scorer too. So when he's going 70, right, and James,
cut you off, but I think he's the most efficient scorer of all time.
Well, I said that too, but if you actually look at the percentages, the greatest player of all time actually has that, LeBron James.
LeBron, I get it.
But honestly, I'll take you from this. Outside the paint, this KD is without a shadow of a doubt the greatest scorer of all time. Because not only can he score from anywhere, but at the same time, the dude is efficient with it. You know what I mean? Like, that's to me is like the most impressive part. But in terms of the big three, I think the conversation we're having a little too early. I want to see what's going to happen too. Because remember, when LeBron went to Miami, everyone had the same question. Then they only went 2 for 4. So now people look at that funny. You see what I'm saying? So my thing is, let's see what they do. Let's see if they win 3 out of 4, I won't have them as the best. But not only they'll be in the conversation, and they'll actually have a little bit of cachet to put themselves in said conversation. Yeah. So as of right now, I'm going to say no. But I'm only saying it because I believe right now it's too early to say, JJ.
I think your answer is the best one. It's kind of to be determined, you know, because I just feel like until this team actually wins the championship and achieves the highest height that that previous big threes have achieved, that's when you really could take it into consideration. Like, all right, this is a great team. They did something special. But yeah, man, I just want to bolster up your point about KD, about how he's just so efficient, like we were talking about a second ago. 11 for 11 from the free throw line. So this guy doesn't miss from the free throw line either. And that's, unfortunately, I wish LeBron had that free throw thing. If LeBron had KD's free throw, the argument would have been over a long time ago, Pride. But you're right. You know, they really just have to win a championship still until they actually get that prize. It won't be that for me. You know, I also look at other big threes, the Miami Heat big three, Wade, Bosch, and LeBron. They won 2 and went to 4 finals. So, like I said, that's just what have you done for me. They did that. I saw it. It's on the record. That just shows how good they were. The Boston Big Three, you know, KJ, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, they got together that first year and won it. I believe they made it to a second final and lost to Kobe, correct? So they made it to 2 finals and lost 1. So, you know, they made it to the finals. 1-1, you could live with that. Kareem, Magic, Worthy, like, these are also big teams that made it to the finals, won finals, you know, Bird, Ainge, give me that third guy. I can't remember his name right now.
Wasn't Parrish.
No, Boston's going to kill me. Nonetheless.
Kevin McHale.
Thank you. Like I said, Lakers and Celtics for the 80s, they were going at it with their big threes, and they were making finals and winning them, and they were trading them. So those guys have done it. I think that right now, the way that they're playing, the Nets are probably favored to win the East. I'm pretty sure they will represent the East in the finals, and if they win it, kudos to them. You know, that means the experiment worked. But only then could we really look at this team and be like, yeah, they're one of the best big threes ever assembled.
Yeah, because a lot of times when you say that, it ends up failing. You know, like, remember, when L.A. – I'm not talking about later L.A., right? When they still had Kobe, signed Dwight, and got Jason and Steve Nash, everyone and their mother were saying this is the best of all time. If I'm not mistaken, I don't even think they even got out of the first round of the playoffs. Wrong. You know what I mean? So – I feel like 90% of the time when you have this conversation, it's a, oh, they were. You know what I mean? And, well, not really that they were, but more like we look at them in a way where this is what they've done. This is their track history. I'm sorry, JJ. I'll when I finish my soliloquy, I'll tell you why I'm about to have a freaking aneurysm, because what I just saw makes me want to throw my phone not only out of my house, not only out of my state, off this planet.
What did you read? Now I gotta know. Cut whatever you're saying short.
Jake Paul has announced his next fight against Tyron Woodley.
Wow! Breaking news, everybody! Wow. I think that says a lot more about Tyron Woodley than it does Jake Paul, honestly.
That's what I'm saying. And it's crazy because, again, this is a boxing match. And I'm like, yo, you're calling out Tyron Woodley, who's not known to be a phenomenal striker. That's the guy you're calling out. Like, this is the guy you're doing. Hey, at least Tyron Woodley just recently had a fight. And at least the guy was active. So I guess it's a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I guess. And on top of that, the kid signed a deal with Showtime. Which Showtime's desperate because, you know, Canelo's out here, like, he's locked up. Yeah. So now they're kind of panicking. So I don't want to live on this planet anymore. But anyway, when it comes to this big three, a lot of times when you say, oh, this is the best big three of all time, when they say why, you go, oh, well, this is what they did. You know, so especially considering it's their first year, you know, I'm not going to say that. I mean, do they have the potential? No debate. There's no debate there. They definitely do have the potential. Let me not poo-poo on them and act like they're all scrubs now, you know? They definitely do have the potential to be one of the greatest, you know? But again, and my thing, they need to be together for at least 3 years.
Yeah.
I feel like we should give them 3 years. then go from there. You know, yeah. JJ. So.
And, you know, I think another big thing about this to me, I'll give them this much credit because I think I've seen enough to comfortably say this. They're easily the best offensive big three for sure. I feel like out of the, all the big threes that we had named, when it comes to who of those big threes you think individually is just put up points, not win games, not defend, not what this team right here, I feel, especially with the addition of James Harden, who's just a great distributor, and given that he could give you 40 himself, he's the glue that puts these teams together. Like without James Harden, KD and Kyrie could play ISO ball all day, and I'm sure they'll have great success. But when you have that guy in James Harden that can actually facilitate your offense and not get guys like them open, but you know, we mentioned guys like Joe Harris in the last show, and they got Blake Griffin now. You know, they got guys like this that he could really get guys open, and you can see the success. You know, obviously they're playing Boston. We're not gonna overreact to the matchup at the moment, but I'll be honest with you, it's amazing.
Oh yeah, I will do. I told this. If that big three can drop over 100 points just two times per series, then honestly they're gonna go through no problem. Yeah. You know, because again, if you do that, then that means the other games one of your big three is lacking, which is fine, because when you have a big three and one guy is lacking, that's not really that big of a deal. It's really not, because then you still got two other prime guys that can pick up the slack, etc. But it's kind of funny you said Blake Griffin. I kind of want to throw this funny little joke out there. So I now want to give Blake, like, the term Blake Griffin. I want to make that a noun, if I may. You know what I mean by that is.
Yes, can I say? Can you use it in a sentence?
Yes, I'm going to. So I'm gonna give you the definition, and then I'm gonna give you a sentence. Okay. So the definition is when you're in a situation that you don't want to be in, so you purposely make yourself look bad to then move on somewhere else, and then all of a sudden, be phenomenal again. Here's the sentence. Albert Pujols has became the Blake Griffin of Major League Baseball. This dude, when he was in the Angels, could not, with his stupid but donk $1 billion, couldn't buy a hit. My man in the Dodgers, he hit home runs like nothing. Like,
you know,
nothing.
I was so upset, too, that Mike Talkman stole that home run game winner, that walk-off from him. Great play for Mike Talkman. Not fully credit due to him, but I thought Albert Pujols was going to hit the walk-off. I thought it was going to be great. I love Albert myself.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Had he hit that walk-off? Oh, listen. The Dodgers already are like the prohibitive favorites to win, right? Hits that walk-off, their odds go through so high, bro. Every team's giving up by mid-year. All-star break, they're playing for the all-star break. After that, they're like waving the white flags. We surrender. We surrender. Yeah, I just had to throw that out there. From now on, I'm going to refer, when I say you're being a Griffin or you're acting like Blake, that is what it is. Because I'm using that. Like, no lie. Ever since what Albert's been doing, I'm turning into a noun.
I'm going to have to get in touch with some people in Urban Dictionary and make sure that they add that on there, because I think that was great. It really was pride. But yeah, you know, nonetheless, you know, I do want to throw another fun stat out there about this big three compared to other big threes. You know, you mentioned earlier Klay, Steph, and KD when they were in the Warriors. That was a great championship run that they had. They went 16-1 in that second championship. Right now, currently, Brooklyn already lost a game. So for them to match that big three, they're gonna have to sweep everybody else. So,
but that again, that's just year one though. My thing is, if they can go 16-0 next year or the year after that. They go 16-0. I 100%. We're gonna have to look at these guys like they might be the Jordan and the other two guys. Look, man, put whatever two guys you want to put on. It don't even matter. You feel me? Because if we're gonna be honest, if these guys step up to the greatest basketball player to ever grace God's green earth, born of one Gloria James in Akron, Ohio, December 30th, LeBron James. It don't matter who he got. He could have. It could be him, Kareem, and Magic all in their prime. Guess what? Brought in two, making them tap out. Making a tap out.
Yeah. It kind of makes me think. Maybe we should think about what would be LeBron James' ideal big three. Maybe that's the topic for another day. But, you know, I do want to transition to the NFL, though, because, you know, I love Patrick Mahomes, my homie. That's my guy. And he was at a golfing event this weekend having a good time with Travis Kelce and the 15 and Mahomes thing that he's had. It was his first annual event for that charity. And, you know, he was asked a question about if there's any records that he wants to shoot for. And he said, not really, but one that he would really like to shoot for would be to go be the first team to go 20-0, considering that now they added the extra game to the schedule, which every NFL fan is happy about it. I don't care what nobody says. I love an extra Sunday to watch football. But, you know, 20-0 would be an amazing feat, you know, for anybody. You know, we saw the Patriots get super close to it a few years ago. It actually feels a lot longer than that, actually. You know, and unfortunately, you know, I was hoping to see Destiny, but David Tyree had another idea, and damn. David Tyree. But nonetheless,
it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny. Touch on that real quick. After he did that catch, he got released.
He got released. So I'm saying
that's the funny part to me. Dude never played
him on bonus or something. Like, come on.
Yeah. That's wild to me.
Nonetheless, you know, this Chiefs team has gone to back-to-back Super Bowls. They're the prohibited champion, favorite to win the AFC once again if the team stays healthy, especially with the additions to the O-line. Orlando Brown for the left tackle, or the right tackle, excuse me, is an amazing upgrade for them. And we saw him in the Super Bowl. He was running for his life from guys like the Dominic and Sue and JPP, so you already know you got to solidify that line. But we know pride. It could have been any Sunday that Bucs team was going to win, so they needed the work. But I'm going to ask you, can this Chiefs go undefeated, man?
No. I don't want to be that guy, but no.
I got schedule.
So good. Let's take a look at the schedule, right? They probably beat San Francisco.
The first three are preseasons. They start.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. So it starts with the Browns. I forgot it was the Browns. So yep. It's gonna be the Browns. I don't care what nobody says. I got the Browns winning. So there goes their 20-0. But let's keep going. Why not? Baltimore, they'll beat. Chargers, they'll beat. Eagles, they'll beat. They're not beating Buffalo. They'll beat Washington. They'll beat. Excuse me. Oh yes, Jose. They were great. I apologize,
San Antonio. Yes. Oh Lord, I'm so ridiculous. Sorry.
We are ridiculous. I will hand in my resignation paper as soon as the show's finished. But they'll beat the Titans. They'll beat the Giants. I still have Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. I still have them there. Yeah. So as long as Aaron Rodgers is in there, they're losing Green Bay. Then they're going to have the Raiders. That's a win. Dallas, they're going to smack Dallas. Broncos, I'll give them the win. Then we have – it's going to be the Raiders, which, again, that's a win. Chargers, I think they're losing. I think they're split with the Chargers. I don't care what no one says. I've said that, and people looked at me funny. Well, guess what? Look somewhere else. Because when it happens, you guys want to respect me. And then the Steelers, we already know what they are. And then the Bengals, they'll beat the Bengals, and then they're going to beat the Broncos. So for me, they got what, 3 losses? Come on. Yeah, like 20-0. Like that makes no sense. Bro, listen, man, the best record they've ever had, JJ, was 14-2.
Last year.
Yep. Yes, last year. Technically, you can give them 3 losses because guess what? Do me a favor, can you put the camera on me? Because I want to make sure this is known.
I don't want to do it now.
You got to do it. Because he lost to the greatest quarterback to ever grace God's green earth, one Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. Oh, my God. That just sounds great every time I say it. I'm going to find excuse to say that once a show. Swear to God. But, you know, if you haven't gone – if you have not gone – with only one loss, and that loss was by like a field goal, you shouldn't be talking about going undefeated. That's just my thing. Because my thing is, look, you went 14-2, bro. You can't make an excuse for 2 losses. Sure, maybe you can make an excuse for 1, but for 2, to me, that's a reach. So again,
I don't think Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs should be confident though. At least have that swagger. Like, I think we could do it.
That's what I was gonna say.
I think they're valid enough to feel that way.
If they want to feel that way, sure, that's fine. But if they actually think they can do it, because there's a difference between believing in yourself and thinking you can do something that not only is stupid, not only is moronic, but quite frankly, you need to be checked into a mental institution if you're on that roster and you think they can actually do it. And that's just because look, if I can feel confident, right, JJ? Look, I'm a handsome man. I look fantastic. My beard ain't patchy. You feel me? That's reality. Yeah, now I'm 6'5", I'm 210, and I could beat John Jones tomorrow. Now I'm bugging, bro. You feel me? So for me, if they want to have that type of like bravado, that's fine. It's okay. If you want to have that confidence, I'm cool with it. As long as they don't legitimately think, because I didn't listen to it, I read it. Yeah. And the way it was read was more along the lines of, Patrick Mahomes basically saying, I don't care about records, but if you guys are going to make me pick one, this is the record I want to go for.
Yeah, so he didn't sound all too serious about it. He was just answering the question. Oh, this will be – like you said, that will be awesome.
Yes, yeah, that's how I took it. I took it as if it was just him saying, if you guys are going to make me pick one, this is the one I'd pick. So, you know, that's fine. You know, I don't really have no issues with him saying that. I'm okay with that. But I'm going to tell you right now, if there's any Chiefs fan who legitimately believes they can go 20-0, if you really believe that, come see me. Because if you're stupid enough to buy that, you're stupid enough to pay off my debts, bro. If that's the stupidity we out here rolling with, come over here. I could use a friend like you in my life. Because ain't no way. Look, man, and I don't care what nobody says, bro. Their defense is ain't no way, no how. They're going 20-0 with a defense like that. Unless the offense is breaking records that are not even thought of anymore.
It's going to have to be 07 Patriots all over again. It has to be like that. That's the only way. It has to be better.
Yeah. Because I think, and with 07, our defense wasn't garbage.
Not at all.
We had a legitimate defense. They don't have that. They don't. So it's like they need to be the 07 Patriots and better. I'm talking about Tyreek needs to all of a sudden be like, yeah, I'll be Randy Moss and all of a sudden win jump balls. That's the type of stuff they need. You see what I'm saying? I don't see it, JJ. So again, are they gonna have you know too many talented teams for them to go to? Yeah, because now
The field is strong.
Yeah, because the thing, you know what I mean? Like, look, the Browns. This is a different Browns team than it was 3 years ago, man.
Absolutely.
That's just a fact. You think they go run over the Bills? Are a different team. But look, man, I'm a 17 for number. These Bills are coming. And when they beat your homie, Josh Allen's going to be your homie. No, nay. He's going to be your daddy. You feel me?
I'll make sure I have these ready.
Have them ready. You want to know why? Because I don't want to wait for my skill. I want you to express ship them to me because I'm going to win. And you lose. And same with Patrick Mahomes. He's going to lose. And I'm going to love it, JJ.
And I'm going to want them faster. I'm going to want them Skittles faster than that. And I'm going to call you Amazon Prime how fast you're going to get them to me. All right?
Listen.
I got to put up the graphic again because, you know, I want to make sure that I'm looking at the schedule right when I'm talking. Now, you're right. I think that they start off the year with a very good and confident Cleveland Browns team, which I agree with you. I think they're a better team than they were in the last 15, 20 years, honestly, my whole lifetime. This is probably the best Browns team in my lifetime that I've seen, and I'm glad to see a team like Cleveland be good because my whole lifetime they've just been a laughing stock. But I do think that they will win that game. I think that they will win. They will beat Baltimore because Mahomes just seems to have Lamar's number. He can't beat Mahomes. Like he looks at Mahomes and thinks, "Damn, I wish I could throw the ball like that guy." Sheesh. Mm-hmm. Right? And let's be real. Mahomes is not a scrub with his legs either. Sure, he's not Lamar, but Patrick Mahomes is plenty good enough to get out the pocket and hurt you for 10 yards at any given play. Mm-hmm. You know, then we got the Chargers. I think there's a real realistic chance that they will split these meetings, Pride. I think that Justin Herbert he's legit to me. Like I saw enough of him in year one to be like, all right, I almost call him San Diego. Los Angeles Chargers got their quarterback. They do. They're going to beat the Eagles. The matchup right there, week five, man. Like I said, that's a Skittles match. We got Bills versus Chiefs. That's going to be amazing. And then we got Washington, and then we got Tennessee. Listen, I think if they were to make it undefeated all the way up to week nine right there to Green Bay, where you said they will lose, right, at Green Bay?
If they have Aaron Rodgers, I think they'll lose.
Oh, no. It's at Chiefs. If they have Aaron Rodgers, they will lose, you said.
Yeah.
A tight game. I would assume you will assume they will lose in a good game. I don't think it'll be a blowout either
way. No blowout. No. I say it'll be – If 10 is the over-under, I'll take under. I'll say no more than 10.
Okay.
That's fair. I'd say like 10 is like the worst-case scenario.
Okay. All right. So this is my point right here. If they were to somehow go 9-0, I'd give them 20-0. Because after that, Raiders, Cowboys.
Okay, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay.
I got the Broncos. Until they go to quarterback, I ain't worried. John Gruden, don't scare me. If you beat Justin Herbert for the first time, I think they'll beat him again. Steelers, haha. They got the Bengals. Their defense ain't good at all. I could throw four touchdowns out there. And then you go again to the Denver Broncos. So I think realistically, the first half of their schedule, Pride, is the challenging part. I feel like if they're going to lose any games, it's going to be early. Of course, you know, it's early in the season too. So a lot of times it's not until the halfway through the season is where you're like a mid-season form, as they say. So their best chance that they're going to lose is going to be early. But if they run the table in those first 9 weeks, Pride, I might be a bad boy because I'm going to win a lot of Skittles that day because I do think, you know, I'm a homie guy. But the caveat is, if they go 9-0 to start.
No. You can't do caveat. You got to go either all in or all out. You got to be all in or all out.
I will go no because the NFL is just so unpredictable and an injury happens here and there. And I
agree with you about the second half of the season is easy. I will give you that. So I do lose.
Hold on, please. Don't you ever come on my show talking about your Giants going to beat the Chiefs. If you want Skittles on that, Jace, you let know because I'll eat your Skittles too.
I will say this. Do I think the Giants will beat them? No.
I'm conservative sometimes, bro.
100%. This dude is mad conservative. That's why, yo, if you ever want to make JJ back out of a bet, just say all in. And all of a sudden, the entire complexion
changes. It all depends. Don't call me like my backbone weak because it's not. I do got the courage of my convictions. But, yeah, you know, most times I'll take the smart choice. But,
yes. Go ahead. But I will say this. You are right about the second half of the season. Because, honestly, the second half, the only team to me that worries me is the Chargers. Yeah. And, again, it's because you think Herbert's legit. I don't want to say he's not legit. But I do want to see him year two. Because we do see a lot. Because remember, Dak Prescott all of a sudden looked like he was going to be like the second coming of Troy Aikman, if not better. Yeah. Ever since then, dude has looked okay. He's looked like a pretty solid quarterback. You know what I mean?
That sophomore year.
Yeah. So I want to see how Herbert. Because like, right. I am
giving Herbert a lot of credit, but I'm not forgetting guys like Joey Bosa and Casey Hayward and who's the safety that keeps getting Derwin James. He'd probably be this year. So they have a lot of talent also on the defensive side of the ball too.
Oh, of course. I'm not saying that at all. However, with the same talent, what was his record last year?
Yeah, I get it.
See what I'm saying? So that's the only reason. Again, I think he's gonna be a good quarterback. I do. But again, I have seen kind of games from him where he'll light like they're supposed to be losing, and he'll light it up, and he might even keep them in the game for a little bit. But you know, like I said, man, the Chiefs being 20-0, I don't see it. I really don't. You know, I think they're gonna have a couple wins before, like, you know, and up to week 9, including week 9 against the Packers. I think that's going to be a couple losses. And I even think, like I said, I think they're going to split with the Chargers. I just think it's going to be one of those days where Herbert's going to wake up hot for absolutely no reason whatsoever, and he's just going to go bonkers. You know, because last year we've seen games where he's thrown over 400 yards. For what? Yeah. Why would you have to do that? Why would you do that? Yeah, losing by over 4 touchdowns, you still flinging the ball. Why? Why just give up? No, he don't want to give up. Yeah, you're throwing 400 yards. So imagine him doing that, starting off hot. Man, this Chiefs defense won't have an answer to him. It won't. You know what I mean? So that's why I think they're gonna end up splitting. But 20, yeah. Look, man, I don't do drugs, man. But if anyone legit thinks 20-0, bro, I need some of what you hitting, bro, because that thing's making you delusional. Delusional. You
know, I wonder what Mr. Nick Wright from First Things First will say, because I know he's a big-time Chiefs fan, so I'm going to have to at my man and think what he thinks about our question, because I wonder where his pride is at, because you know he's a Chiefs boy.
Yeah! Obviously, he's a Chiefs fan.
He's from Missouri.
He never bragged about it. Not until my homeboy came. He's front-running. And another thing, I'm going to put it to this way, bro. I've never in my life have ever heard of a Chiefs fan. Because you know him, he's going to go, oh, yeah, we're going to go 21-0. It's like, yo, Nick, it's only 20. Time out, bro. Relax. Like, you guys ain't that lit. Oh, yeah. Well, he's going to do some armchair stuff, and he's going to reach, and he's gonna reach worse than I do. And I'd be reaching real bad. I'd be reaching real, real bad. But ain't no way. I will put up my life. I will put – listen, if anyone wants to take the bet, let me know. My life, okay? My unmentionables, my firstborn, and my secondborn, just for added insurance. And then after all that, I will then be your slave for the rest of my life.
If anyone's willing to take
that. They're not winning 20-0. And you know what you need to put up? Nothing. Nothing. Just all you need to do is shake my hand. And it's a risk with these COVID times. But if you come up and shake my hand, that's done. You don't owe me nothing. You won't owe me nothing. Yo, Jose, you want the bet, bro? You want the bet? That's how
confident. I don't think Jose think the Chiefs are going 20-0. But I'm telling you right now, Pride, if the Chiefs go 9-0, you know how you talk about your worst behavior? You don't want to hear me, bro. I'm gonna go crazy. But we'll see. You know, nonetheless, I'm a big Mahomeboy fan, so I'm happy that he has his confidence in himself and in the team. I just think that you need that good energy going into a year, especially after you lose a Super Bowl like that. You know, you definitely want to bounce back. But I do want to transition back to the NBA because we saw some great games over the weekend. A lot of teams that were down in their series are now tied. The Suns, the Clippers, and the Trailblazers all tied up their series at 2-2, and you got that energy. And I will save that for later in the show, probably, because I know you got a lot to say. But at the moment, you know, we got a lot of 2-2 series, and I love it because it just means that Game 5 is going to be off the chain. So, you know, like I said, Clippers, Suns, Trailblazers. Which of these three teams, probably, you think has the best chance of advancing?
So what I decided to take this question a little differently, right? So what I did is I decided to rank them of these three teams, which team should have the most confidence, like the most confidence in them, that they'll be able to advance. That's how I looked at it.
Okay.
So I started with number three. I had to start with the Portland Trailblazers. Look, I get it, they won, but I don't want to disrespect them. Because I like Damon. Even though he had a bad game, I don't want that to make it seem like he's a scrub. He was rough, but there's no way that you're confident when not only was your best player off, the Nuggets' best player was off, and it took a Herculean effort from both CJ McCollum and Norman Powell. Yeah. If it was just one of them, okay, yeah, I get it. So I'm going to put them three. I will say this, huh? The Portland Trailblazers, in terms of their future, must be sitting and be very happy about this. Because okay. I will tell you this right now. With how Norman Powell has been balling out for these dudes ever since they got him, they need to be loving that. They need to be happy about that. But with all that being said, Nuggets are on a whole nother level. So right now, for number three, I'm going to have to put it over with these Trailblazers. Now, number two. For me, 2-1 is close, right? But for number two, I'm putting the Suns. Now, the reason I'm going to put the Suns there is because, first and foremost, Anthony Davis is going to be out. He's probably not playing game five. So the Lakers are probably like, okay, 3-2, have him come back. We'll be fine. Because when Anthony Davis has been on the floor, for the most part, DeAndre Ayton does not know what to do with him in terms of
defense.
At all. And I just think that's just more along the lines of him needing to play a little longer. Not only play longer, but playing longer with a leader like CP3. And an intelligent guy who can teach him more about the game to help him out a little bit. But in terms of, like, defensively, yo, Anthony Davis sneezes and the kid flinches. It's horrible. I feel like I'm watching a real life murder. That's why I feel like I'd be seeing sometimes. It'd be crazy. LeBron's going to come out. See, this right here is going to be very pivotal. Because if LeBron comes out, and if LeBron can lead these Lakers to a win to give them the advantage.
Going back to Staples.
That's the scary part. Because remember, after this game, they're going back to Staples. That's why I'm thinking, you know, it's probably going to be a 7-game series. I still got the Lakers. But, you know, the Suns definitely should be confident. Because if they could steal one game, they could win this game without AD. And then go back to Staples. It doesn't matter if they win or lose. They just got to go out there and, yo, give it all you got. And if it comes to a game seven, guess what? The game seven in our house. So, we'll, you know what I mean? They'll be able to live and die. And then number one, obviously, just to spite you, JJ, your team, the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, the reason I put them one is not only I was watching the game. Yo, these dudes look demoralized. The Mavericks look not horrible without AD out, Lakers not going anywhere.
That's arguable, but that's for another topic.
I disagree, but I get why you say that.
Yeah.
But the Clippers, the Mavericks just look demoralized. They look like they don't even want to play. And I get it, Luke is dealing with the neck thing. I understand.
Yeah.
So what? does it go through the air or something? Because Dorian Finney all of a sudden looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. And same thing with all Timmy Hardaway. Chris has Porzingis. I mean, top to bottom, they all look like they didn't want to, almost as if they didn't want to be there. It was a very, they came out real flat. And Kawhi came out and he was like, look, man, I don't really care. I really don't care. So I'm going bonkers. My man cared so little, he cared too much. That's how he was playing. And it was
incredible. I'm not going to lie to you, bro. I think this is the best I've seen Kawhi in the last couple games.
Yes, definitely. Without a shadow of a doubt, this definitely was the best. And honestly, yeah, it was a neck strain, but it's not, but he was still able to play. That's why I'm giving the Clippers number one, because not only were they playing, Reggie Jackson had some moments.
Yeah.
And when I saw these moments, it was moments where I was like, oh my goodness, like this kid is out here trying to like, he's out here doing ISOs. And he's calling ISOs and he's waving them off. And Paul George, who's being the short corner, will go, okay. And he'll go up half court and let him keep that ISO. Like, you know, like it looks like now they're all gelling together. So if right now I'm like, I got a Clippers one, Suns two, I do have them close. If you want to flip those, I would understand, because a lot of people have been saying that if the Suns beat the Lakers, then the rest is easy. The rest is going to be easy, because the only other people they really got to worry about is, frankly, would be the Clippers. And if the Clippers get knocked out,
yeah,
you know what I mean? So I get that. But I'm going to have the Clippers 1. I'm going to have the Suns 2. And then I'm going to have the Portland Trailblazers 3. And again, I don't mean to be disrespectful to Portland, but even though Jokic had arguably one of his worst games, at no point in the series have I ever looked at Portland and was like, oh man, Portland really took control. I haven't had that thought yet. In terms of the Suns, I kind of have that thought, which is kind of why I have them above it. And with the Clippers, if we're talking about getting the whole, like, grabbing control, the Clippers are grabbing the Mavs and is dragging them like, okay, we're going where I want to go. And they're just dragging them everywhere. So that's going to be my order. It's going to be Clippers 1, Suns 2, and Trailblazers 3, JJ.
Yeah. I hate when I have to agree with you about certain things.
Yes, sir.
This is one of them, Pride. You know, and I generally wouldn't have a problem agreeing with you, but just on this one, because I love my Mavericks and Luka, man, I'm really upset about this one because, yeah, you're right, bro. It is the Clippers. You know, the Clippers in Game 3 – came out with a 30-11 lead and then have been outscored by 53 cents. I don't get where this switch flipped like that. You know, maybe it has a little bit to do with Luka's injury, but he's out there. He's stressed, so I'm not going to give him any slack. He's not making an excuse. I'm not going to make an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said earlier, Kawhi right now is playing the most phenomenal basketball I think I've ever seen him play, and the supporting cast right now alongside him are playing just as well. Let's be honest. This Clippers team is supposed to beat this Mavericks team. The biggest surprise so far was that they fell down to 0-2, because that wasn't supposed to be the case. It was more of the Mavericks overachieving against the Clippers. And now, you know, the Clippers did what they had to do, and now they reclaim back home field advantage, knowing that the next three games, two of them are going to be in the basement. I'm sorry, at Staples Center. So, you know, they definitely have to look forward to that. But you're right. You know, I think that the Denver Nuggets and the Trailblazers, I think they're going to go 7. I just see it going back and forth. And I got to say this, and I got to tell this. I know a brother Jose is watching. Joker, Nikola Jokic, needs to win this series, because if he blows this, I know that the MVP is a regular season award, but I don't know how those voters are going to be able to look at Nikola Jokic and give him the MVP after losing to this team. You know what I mean? That's just how I feel. I feel like he should be good enough to at least get this team out of the first round. I get it. If you get bounced after that, by all means. But you can't be an MVP in my eyes and get bounced, especially when – I mean, I understand. You got Jamal Murray out. But you do have some guys that could run with you. You guys did get Aaron Gordon to go help you. Michael Porter Jr. is good enough to give you 20 points. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, I'm not trying to make it too much about Joker, because nonetheless, if he wins it or loses it, I don't care. I think that he should win it rightfully. I think he had the best – regular season. I just want him to take that and transfer over to the playoffs and help your team at least get past this bump, because they're going to need him. And I think we both agree, if they're going to win the series, Nikola Jokic in the next three games is going to have to play phenomenal, which he has done so far. It's not like he's having a scrub series. He's phenomenal. Okay. But nonetheless, I do think that Nuggets team should be, even with a piece like Jamal Murray out, they should be good enough to beat the Trailblazers. Unless, unless Dame starts hitting logo threes and you can't do nothing about that. But and then you make great points about Phoenix and LA, you know, Anthony Davis to game two and three. Oh my God, he was putting it on Ayton's ass, man. I'm sorry for the language, but Ayton didn't know what to do. He was I can't even say, he was E'Andre Ayton because he had no D in his name, bro. It was E'Andre. He couldn't defend. Like, I thought there was a rule that he couldn't play defense or something. Anthony Davis was just putting on him. But that's AD. When AD's at his best, it's hard to control the man. But nonetheless, this team did come out. And, you know, I love what Chris Paul did for this team. You know, before game four, coach was like, I'm not going to play you, Chris. I think it'd be best if we don't play you. He said, hell no. I'm going to play. Let me play. And if I look like ass out there, then you take me out. And he did exact the opposite. He actually helped that team the whole game and led them to a game four victory, which it really needed. And they took back home field advantage. And now they got the next two out of three games in Phoenix. But, man, the Clippers just shot these Mavericks in their heart. And I'm hoping that, you know, they got another gear in them to at least make it a competitive battle in game five. Because game three and four, Pride, this Mavericks and Clippers thing, the Clippers have run away with it.
Crazy, because, like, game one and two, we were on the left. Now games two and three, we on the right. Like, this series so far has been so polarizing. Like, all of a sudden, we're talking about, should they move on? Now, all of a sudden, next thing you know, we're going to start talking about, should the Mavs
move on? We're over here on Friday talking about what should Steve Ballmer do with the team, and now it changed over a weekend.
But like I said, bro, to me, this team is talented. Top to bottom, one of the deepest teams. The only issue they have is mentality, man. Like, their mentality. That's really it. You know what I mean? Maybe this will get them going. You know, it's a possibility.
I agree with you, Brian. We both made that point. And honestly, I think a big reason why this team flipped the switch, I think they got tired of Luka Doncic smiling and talking smack to them and telling Patrick Beverley, you too effing small. Like, I think they got sick of all that. And they're like, you know what? We're going to put it on you on your building because – that game three, when they went up 30-11, the first thing Luka Doncic was saying is, not in my house, not in my house. And I was loving it because I feel like when you're home, you should definitely hold down your home court. But when you talk like that, you got to back that up. Yeah, and the Clippers came and slapped them in the mouth game three and four.
Yeah, that great saying, what goes wrong comes around. He was having fun. Now all of a sudden, they out here getting scraped. I'm going to tell you this right now. In terms of the Clippers, whoever wins games five is going to win the series.
Absolutely.
100, and the reason I say that, because I've said that on social media, people have looked at me kind of funny. The reason I say that is because no disrespect to these guys, no disrespect to either one of these teams, but when the Mavs get punched in their mouth, the only guy who really rises up is Luka. That's it. Yeah. When Chris Epps gets punched in his mouth, the dude just goes, oh, I'm injured. I used to make fun of Embiid being injured. Chris Epps is worse. Chris Epps even worse. You know, so to me, it's like whoever game five is pivotal because whoever wins this is gonna win the series. It's not like like the whole Trailblazers series, because I feel like even if Portland wins game five, I could see Denver winning those two and winning in seven. Same thing with the Lakers. Let's say that the Suns win game five, because right now the Lakers are not gonna play AD game five, and they're gonna say if we lose, it is what it is. They feel confident that they can win the next two. They feel like they could win one in Staples and they could win one over in Phoenix. They have that feeling. So with those two teams, I can kind of see, okay, if one of them goes down 3-2, I can kind of see, you know, those teams coming. But in terms of like this Lakers or this Clippers and this Mavs team, I can't see any of them getting punched in the mouth and going, yeah, I'm still here. I can't see that. But you know what I mean? You punch Paul George in the mouth, dude all of a sudden goes back talking about, oh man, bro, it's tough here in the bubble. It's like, fam, that was last year. No, you got to find a new excuse. That was last year, brother. It's tough. You know what I mean? So, like I said, man, when it comes to this Massey, it's going to be interesting because, like I said, whoever wins games five, JJ, they're winning the whole series. There's just no debate there.
I hate when I have to agree with you on things I don't want to. I really do. But nonetheless, all these game fives are going to be amazing to watch, and I hope that everybody tunes in because it's must-watch TV if you're an NBA fan. But I do want to go transition to our Blazing Predictions update. I'm very excited. Our Blazing Predictions always presented by Rocky Hill Accountants with over 35 years of experience. Make sure that you have experienced professionals helping you out with your finances. Ask for Haiti and make sure that you tell her that your friends at Clovercrest Media sent you. But yeah, Pride, I'm very excited, like I said. And we'll make sure to update everybody on Sanders' pick because he's not here. I'll actually start off with him because he actually got his pick right. He predicted that the Hawks were going to go and hold down home court versus the Knicks. And they did, man. Trae Young looked amazing. You know, I don't like the fact that he chucked up 14 three-pointers in the last game. I feel like he's trying to beat Dame Lillard, Steph Curry, too much. Trae, when you were shooting 3 to 6 three-pointers, your team is having success, so just go back to that. You're going to get your highlights. You're a great player, Trae. Just, you know, go out there, go into the next round. Don't blow for this team because a 3-1 lead could disappear really quick. Ask the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, ask Golden State, ask OKC. Heck, go ask the Clippers last year. It goes away in the blink of an eye. So don't mess around with that. I will say this, though. Even though he had that for 14 threes, even though he took too many and I didn't like him, I did like when he took them. Yeah. At least he took them like when they had a sizable lead. So if he missed, it really wouldn't bite them in the butt a little too much. You know what I mean? Yeah. When things were starting to get a little clogged, like, you know, then, like when things were starting to get a little nip and tuck, he ran the sets Nate McMillan would tell him to run. He definitely didn't. He didn't stray from there. It looked more along the lines of, I'm going to throw this up as long as the coach don't tell me nothing. If you don't give me a play to run, I'm chucking it. So I ain't going to kill him too much, especially since they got the win. But if he keeps shooting 14 threes, bro, it ain't going to be looking good. It won't be looking good for him at all.
Yeah. Nonetheless, you know, kudos to Atlanta for holding down the home court. You guys did what you got to do. Now you got to go back to New York, seal the deal, or you got to go back to Atlanta, play another game. But Pride, steal time, boy. Go ahead. Lay it on me, boy.
I just want to say one thing.
I want you to read the text first because I put a little special thing in there, Nian. Read that for me.
Pride's blazing prediction, : Clippers beat the Mavericks tonight. Result, Clippers beat Mavs 118-108 and sent JJ a late night text to rub it in. You're right, I did.
Yeah, you're right. Did.
I was up. And when the final buzzer hit, guess what? Immediately looked mad. And he was pretending he was asleep. He wasn't asleep because just a few minutes before he said something. So I know he wasn't asleep, right? But I just want to say this.
You're not lying. I ignored it.
Yeah, oh, I know you did. I just want to say one thing. From now on, I want to change my name. Am I allowed to change my name on the show?
Depends on where you want to change it to.
Okay. You got to call me Mystic Mac because I predict these things, bro. I told you that these guys were going to win and you didn't want to listen to me. Why? Because it was the Clippers. I told you these boys was going to show up. I'm not even a Clippers fan. I don't even like them like that. But just to make you upset, I love it. And I want you to cry. And when you cry, put it in a cup and send it to me because I'm going to drink it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I want to make a bet with you right now. The Clippers are winning. They win in game 5 and in game 6 after that. You want some Skittles?
I might have to think about that one for a little bit.
The Clippers are winning. You feel me? Clippers are winning. I love Luka. Okay, that's my guy right there. Baby Bird. You feel me? But the dude was out there playing like a baby, not Baby Bird. Feel me? And Kawhi Leonard was doing his thing. Guy was spectacular. Guy was great. I'm not going to say magical because that's only for LeBron James, the greatest basketball player on God's green earth. But I will say this, though. Clippers won. Floor is yours, JJ.
You're right, man. But I will say this. If you want me to call you Mystic Mac, you got to start hitting at least 300 with this prediction, boy. At least 300.
Well, I won't get there. But right now, I'm batting. I'm like the Aaron Hicks of predictions, bro. I'm like under 200 right now, bro. And no lie, bro, I'm about to fake an injury. So that way I can get started. So I can't get any worse. Like, I'm getting short, so I can't get any worse. So I'm about to start throwing out like obvious facts, bro. I'm gonna start coming out Friday. And yo, we're gonna wake up Saturday morning. You're gonna look up, the sky's blue. Boom.
Boom.
And then watch it be a cloudy day.
So yeah, no, like Pride said, I gotta come over here and I do gotta take this grace. And I also gave myself a little thing because the Mavericks, I said they were gonna sweep the series and we were gonna be in the second round by now, but they did the complete opposite. They actually got swept in the weekend and now it's 2-2. So, you know, I had to eat a vegetarian lemon pepper L for breakfast because For anybody that doesn't know me, I'm a vegetarian, so I had to get the lemon pepper L. And because it's only right, I got a Shannon Sharp L myself because I deserve it. I deserve it. Thanks, Uncle Shay. That was a bad L. Hopefully, I bounce back next Friday. I got to because I really messed that one up, right?
No, bro. I hope you don't bounce back. Just stay down. Like, join me. Hey, yo, come to the basement. You feel me? Come to the basement with me, bro. No. I'm chilling with Kawhi and Paul George all the time. They're kind of fun, bro. Swing on by, bro. Come on.
Well, I mean, remember what Kawhi said? I'm a fun guy. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. We're also on Twitter at Stir the Pot Sport and on Twitch TV / Clovercrest Media Group. We also make sure to check out our website, www.clovercrestmedia.com/stirthepotsports. And make sure you guys check us out on Spotify, on your morning commute, CMG Sports. Stir the Pot Sports will be there. You'll see our awesome logo always. But yeah, Pride. I hear agreeing with you about this whole Clippers thing, so I really need the Mavericks to win game 5 for me.
I'm going to tell you right now, if the Lakers if they get bumped, I'm going to be a Clippers fan just to piss you off. No lie. I like getting you mad. So, you know what? If LeBron is at the playoffs, yeah, Kawhi Leonard is the best player in the playoffs, right?
You're going to go with the fun guy?
yeah, that's what I'm going with, bro. Go with that fun guy. Him and freaking backboard P. That's who I'm rooting for.
I call him Way Off P, but
Way Off.
I'm your host, JJ Vargas, my brother, Riley Pride. We'll catch you on Wednesday.
Attention all basketball fans. CMG Sports presents the Posting Up Podcast, where Lucas Bolduc, Sean Scanlon, and King Zay discuss the latest news and topics throughout the NBA. So, if you have a love for basketball, make sure you check out the Posting Up Podcast, live every Tuesday and Saturday on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Also available for download on every podcast platform. The Giants are running New York like the times as Danny is dropping all sorts of dimes. Saquon's thighs are ruining defenses' lives and Leonard Williams making opposing QBs feel him. Receivers think it's scary to line up across James Bradberry, and the Giants have a bright future led by coach, judge, jury, and executioner. Tune in to Drawing About the G-Men every Wednesday at 6, live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Which?